Father God, you are awesome. You're wonderful. Your love is incredible. You love us so much that you gave us your son. And I thank you, Father, for the ever-living Jesus. And I thank you for this word, the thing called the Bible, that is alive and it speaks to us. And today I thank you, Father, for the word that is going to speak to our hearts and just minister to each person. Each person here today, the word will speak to and encourage. And you'll leave better than you came in. In Jesus' name, amen. And the coffee helps. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, today we're finishing up week 4 on how to hear God's voice. This is our last week of our series on how to hear God's voice. And I have to tell you, I personally have enjoyed it. What do you mean, Pastor D? Yeah, because, you know, I study and I'm just pumping this stuff in me. And lots of times the light's going off like, wow, Pastor D, you've got to get on track before you open your mouth. So it is minister to me. I've like tweaked parts of my life. So how to hear God's voice. And, you know, a lot of times I can go through all the motions like you can on being a good little Christian. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read that. I'm going to do that. And I miss hearing God. You can miss hearing God because I've got it all figured out. I write lists. They're all over my place and they're numbered and stuff like that. So this series has just really helped me personally on just, you know, making sure my priority is that I hear God's voice, because that's everything, my relationship with the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about relationships, but today the title of your message, if you have your orange card, is called Finding Your Voice. Finding Your Voice. Finding Your Voice. Praise the Lord. How do we find our voice? That's what we're going to talk about. So I Googled, love it. Google, how many voices are in the world? A lot. Over 7 billion voices in the world, meaning 7 billion people. But let's look at them at voices, because we're talking about voices. There's over 7 billion voices in the world, and there are no two voices that are the same. There are no two voices that are the same. Now, some of you, you'll call me up and you'll just go, hey, one word, hey. And I like, I know who that is. Isn't that interesting that you can identify people, certain people, especially people that you have a relationship, you can identify them with one word. That's pretty crazy. Now, I have to tell a story about my grandson because I only have one and he's the cutest little thing and he came to visit. So you get to hear these now. But my grandson's name is Cash and he's a year and a half and he has a growing vocabulary. I think like 10 words now. Mom, dad, up, cup, pup, no. Yeah, that was probably the first one. And hi. Hi. And he's a ladies man at age 1.5. You know, we got him in the shopping cart and he sees girls and he'll go, hi. Hi. This is his gust of breath. And he's got eyelashes like his mom that are this long and a smile, and everybody stops. Oh, I thought, boy, you got it. He's just doing this at 1.5. So Sherry and I were, they were in town a couple weeks ago, and then they left, and Sherry and I were doing the imitations of baby Cash, and we'd go, hi, hi. And, you know, we were trying to imitate him, but here's the thing. Each person, including baby Cash, you have your own voice. I'm going to use this word, signature. Each person has their own voice signature. And even though I was trying to do the hi, like baby Cash, his voice, there's two people that know it. And you can't imitate it. I mean, you can try, but that's his mommy and his daddy. They know his voice. And then, you know, so I was on the phone with Cash going, listen, Cash, I miss Cash. She says, hi. She goes, he doesn't sound like that. Yes, he does. I'm the grandma. Okay, I'm the grandma. But again, they can detect, those parents can detect if something's slightly off and know, no, that's not my kid, you know. So each person has your own individual voice signature. And it's really kind of interesting as I started studying, just got off a total left turn when I was studying about actual voices and the things that make our voice so unique. It can be the shape of the palate of your roof of your mouth. It could be your whatever this thing's called. It has to do with your breathing and stuff. All of that affects this voice that you have. It's just really fun, really fun. But the thing is, sometimes, as unique as my voice is, sometimes my voice will sound similar, or rather, my daughter's voices sound similar to me. My daughter's voices sound similar to your, maybe your son's voice sounds similar to you. And sometimes you'll call and they'll say, "Oh, I thought that was your mom." And Sherry goes, "No, it's me." And I thought, wow, I don't think we sound anything alike. I really don't. Probably Cassie. Cassie probably, she looks like me, she sounds like me. We have our own special things in life and stuff like that. But it's really interesting that you can actually inherit it sort of genetically, these traits by the people that you live with, and your voice will sound similar. But, again, you all have your unique voice, and that's why sometimes I think it's so silly for you to try to mimic somebody else, or better, try to speak like somebody else, try to act like somebody else. Come on, folks, you're your own unique person that God made. He made you to be you, and one of you is enough, as I tell my kids, especially Cassie. I said, one of you is enough, girl, all right? And I really believe that God is saying the same thing across this whole planet, but he uses us in our unique way to say certain things, and maybe the same things. I always love it. Where's Joan? Joan will call me up and she'll go, "Pastor Dee, after church I watched, this is a while ago, Charles Stanley, and can you believe he was saying the same thing you said at Sunday church?" I thought, man, I'm hearing God. That's pretty cool. Charles Stanley, I'm really, woohoo! But again, you know, God's saying the same thing through people, but he will use you in your very unique way to say it a very special way to very special people. So, be you. One of you is enough, right? One of you is enough. Okay, so I want to talk about how you find your voice. How you find your voice, what it's going to look like, how it plays out in your life. And we're going to start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a very unique voice. Turn over to Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist, all right? Now, if you had to rank some of the all-time big followers of Jesus, I think I'd put John at the top of the list. Number one, was he a cousin or a half-cousin? I'm trying to remember how that works. Something like that. A relative. Does that make him a half-cousin, his sister? Huh? Cousin. Okay. So he's a cousin. So he should be at the top of the list of one of the followers of Jesus. Okay? So we got John the Baptist. And not only was he kind of special that way, but you know what made him special? Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied about John hundreds of years before John came on the scene. Now that really makes you special. So y'all at Luke chapter 3? All righty. Luke chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. This is as Isaiah when he spoke about John, and it's quoted here. It's quoted here. He says, Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness." Now listen to what he's shouting. Listen to this. "Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled. The mountains and hills will be leveled. The curves will be made straight and the rough places will be made smooth. And this is the result." Watch this. "And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." Okay? All people will see the salvation sent from God. This is me. This is what I believe. But I believe this is a blueprint of what your voice does. Everybody say, me too. This is a blueprint, I believe, of what your voice does on the earth, just like that, okay? So, we all have a voice. I have a voice. Boy, do I have a voice. And I get to speak to certain types of people. And you have a voice that will go to other kinds of people. But we all have voices, and just like this, John had a voice to accomplish something. And guys, that mouth of yours is there for a reason, okay? You have a voice. Praise the Lord. Now, did you notice in verse 4 that John is shouting one thing? John is shouting one thing. What is he saying? Prepare the way of the Lord. All right? Prepare the way of the Lord. Why? So people could see salvation. So people could see salvation. In other words, it's the sound of his voice, John's voice. It's the sound of John's voice that leads people to see salvation. And who is that? Jesus. Okay. So we have a voice. We have John's voice. And it was to prepare the way so people could see salvation. Now, I was just kind of chewing on this all week, and I thought, oh my gosh, John got to prepare people for the first coming of Jesus. The first coming of Jesus. Now look at the person next to you on both sides and say, you get to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. So y'all are just not going to sit on your rear ends, right? You don't get to sit on your rear ends. You have a voice. You and I get to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming. And he is going to come back. Some days I go, could it be tomorrow? Could it be tonight? But he's coming back. Now, when Isaiah was writing about John, and even in John's time when they were describing that John was to be a voice to prepare the way, they're actually using a term that we don't really use, but John was actually described as a herald. Not your Uncle Harold, but a herald, H-E-R-A-L-D, okay? John was being described as a herald. Now, a herald actually has an important job. And what they would do is they would go ahead to a city and then they would announce that the king was coming. Right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Good. All right. And more importantly, they would prepare the city for the king to come. They would prepare the city for the king to come. And a lot of times that was a really big job. It was a big job for them to do. In today's modern day, we might call that person, instead of a herald, we call them the inspector. The inspector would come, all right? I was just talking to a friend of mine. His daughter was buying their first house, and the inspector was coming at 3 o'clock. That whole week, they were like crazy, fixing things, preparing it for the... Yeah, they passed. They got the house. Praise the Lord. But so here we have this herald. He would show up in a town, and sometimes a week or a month beforehand, before the king would come, and he would check everything. Every stone was turned over. Every place was looked at to make sure it was prepared for who? The king. The king, okay? Now, they would, if they were coming to this city or this town, they'd go check the place where the king was going to be staying, the living quarters, and make sure they're just ready for the king. They'd go talk to the people that were going to be preparing his food, and they'd make sure it was all done really perfect, and they were checking it out and preparing it. Okay, so the herald was to go ahead to prepare for the king. All right, do you know where I'm going? Don't say anything. Alrighty. Now, this part, this next part where it says, clear the road for him, that the valleys will be filled and the mountains and the hills made level, that the curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth. I have read that hundreds of times. Anybody read that whole description? Okay. And you know what? I don't think I really understood it until I started thinking about the herald. Now, think about the herald. That he would actually lead a construction crew into the city or beyond the city because they'd make the valley smooth and the straight places curved. So who could come to town? So the king, not the herald this time. guys are so funny. All right. They would literally move the earth to prepare so the king could come. All righty. And their biggest question that the herald would be asking is, what's in the way? What's in the way that's what's keeping the king from coming? What could possibly keep the king from coming to that city? That's what the herald was thinking. Now, let's just pretend you lived in York, New Salem. I live in this little tiny town. I think it's a borough. It's one of those. I always forget what it is. Little tiny thing, okay? And if this, it might be the only time the king would ever come through York, New Salem, okay? Because we're just a little thing on the map. We're not big like back in the day, Rome. We're just little York, New Salem, okay? So it was a huge deal when the king was going to come to your city, your town, your borough, whatever, all righty? And so for weeks, months, and sometimes, if it's really I'm in a mess, sometimes a year, the herald would go ahead, right? And he would, the town of York, New Salem, they would get all their resources to prepare the road. They would, all their conversation would always be about, oh, we got to get ready because the king is going to come through our town. All righty. So, and they'd be thinking about how can we prepare for the king? How can we prepare for the king? So, write this down. This is your question. Ready? Are you making it easy for the king to come in your life? Are you making it easy for the king to come in your life? Another way is my voice making Jesus, now I'm going to throw this one at you, more visible? Is my voice making Jesus more visible? Like in my life, like in my relationships, like at my job, like on my social media? Is my voice making it visible for Jesus? Okay. How about this? How about everywhere I go, is my voice making Jesus more visible? Everywhere I go. These are questions I had to ask myself as I was preparing for 4 weeks on this, and I'm going, oh, got to clean up this. I don't think my voice is. Now, let me give you an example. A couple years ago, I was in San Francisco visiting one of my other daughters, and we were not in the city part where the business section was. We were more where the shops, and there was this, oh my gosh, big buildings and stuff. So I'm walking with Joy and Eric, and we're crossing the street and to go into another store. And there was this guy, actually a guy about my age, a young man, and this little young'uns with him. And they got this, bullhorn. And they are screaming in this bullhorn, "Repent! Or you'll be burned in hell, and, you know, get saved because you're going to burn in hell." You know that kind of stuff. Has anybody ever walked past somebody on that? And listen, they meant well. They meant well. But I'm watching all the people, and actually one of the people with me, and it was not attractive. It was not attractive. And I wanted to say, would you stop speaking on God's behalf, please? But I didn't. And because I kept thinking, that's not how my God speaks. Doesn't it say that the goodness of God leads to repentance, the kindness of God? Okay, it does. So I kept wanting to go, please go away, go away. And so the question again, is my voice making Jesus' voice? I don't think theirs was. All right. And that's why we talk about, where's Dolores? Dolores, where? I don't even know where we heard this, where we stole this, but we like this. We always talk about, and I think the Lord spoke to you about, building bridges. And I'm going to tweak it a little bit instead of barriers. And those well-meaning people, I don't think they were building bridges. I think people's hearts just, it was not drawing them to Jesus. So, is my voice making Jesus more visible? Now, if you look back to John the Baptist there, did you know that when Jesus came on the scene, so we got John, and then Jesus shows up on the scene. Do you know that John's voice actually made way for Jesus? Actually, John got out of the way when Jesus showed up on the scene. Think about that. Think about that, okay? So here's John. Okay, you all know this story. John's baptizing. He's baptizing hundreds of people. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he says, please baptize me. And you know what John says? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Guess what? At that point, John's voice is now pointing John's voice pointing to him. He steps away and he goes, This is it, right? He actually defers to Jesus. That's pretty cool. And actually, he also says later on, he says, I am not fit to untie his shoes. What's he doing? His voice is making Jesus' voice big. Now, what you need to think about, though, is Jesus is the new guy. Nobody knew about him. That's day one, new guy, okay? And they know John. He's been out baptizing for years. And to all sorts of people, all kinds of people, all bunches of people, I don't know, hundreds, I'll exaggerate, thousands of people know John because he's been doing this. And what does he do? John all of a sudden says, hey, behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And then his voice says, I'm making a way for this, for the Son of God, for Jesus. Isn't that cool? I love that. Oh, I went to bed happy last night. I don't know about you. Okay, let me give you an example of this present day. Pastor Sherry does Revolution Youth Church Ministries. I don't know. I added a couple words there. Whatever we call it. The youth ministry, Revolution Church. Hey, she's looking at me like, Mom, just keep going. You're muffing it up. Okay. I do know for a fact, because I've been doing this too also, we have been praying for years for youth. Praying for years. We've been praying, how can we get kids who don't normally come or would not come into a church? How do we get them to at least make Jesus a fan in their life? Be a fan, you know, even think about Jesus. Okay, so we've been praying. And, you know, because some people have barriers up when it comes to church, and maybe they had a bad experience at church. Or maybe some Christian said something dumb. Okay, okay, I'm so, be nice, Pastor D. You know, just said something that just didn't go over really good. So people don't always want to just walk into a church. So we're praying about that. We are aware about that because I was probably one of those back in the day, all right? So we're praying about that. And we're praying also, how can we get them, how can we get into our schools? Hey, how do we get in our schools? And Sherry, Pastor Sherry, meets with how many of the youth pastors, Sherry? Once a month? 15 regularly, and sometimes more, sometimes less. And these are youth pastors, and they're praying for our kids in this county. They are praying. They are seeing them, and they're really praying for them. And our big thing is how can we get into schools and start campus clubs? So we have Dover Area High School. And which is really just like right down the road. And so we've been praying for this. And I wouldn't say all of a sudden, but God had been working on this teacher leader. Is that what you call? You have to have a teacher sponsor. And this, now I'm probably going to say this a little different than you. But this lady's like bold, and she wasn't going to take no from nobody at Dover Area High School Administration. Matter of fact, she kind of did some things without getting all the things and ready. So she just busted through. And we have students here in our youth ministry here that came alongside with her. And we got this, they got this going. And we've got a campus club at Dover. And there, guess what? Wow, it's great. They're kind of at the beginning stage. But listen, the voice of Jesus is getting in there. Yeah, and it's not about one person, you know, and it's incredible. And keep praying because, you know, there's several people that just would love to shut it down. But so we're praying to get the voice of Jesus known in schools. And listen, lives are changed. And you may not see that. You know, I was a part of a campus club in a middle school for years and years. And, man, we just were faithful. Tom Medwin and I did not sing. He sang. I did not play guitar. He played guitar. I actually didn't preach. I was the bouncer. That was my job. And if you know me, I was pretty good at that. I can give you that look and stuff. But for 10 years, we're in there, and, you know, here it is, 10 years later, 20. I've occasionally run into these kids, and they'll go, Miss D, because back then I was Miss D, I remember going, and they give me their story about just our voice, really Tom's voice, making Jesus' voice known. Kids got born again. And it may not have been in our middle school. It may have gone in high school or college, but there were so many seeds sown. It just, I mean, it melts me to a puddle of tears when they come up and say, Pastor D, Miss D, you know, I was there, and you affected my life. No, it was really Tom. I was the bouncer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is our goal, guys? We need to start building bridges that lead to Jesus and not barriers. And then more people are going to come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's build bridges. And you have voices that will go places, that will meet people that I don't even know if I want to meet them. But God will place them in your heart, and you have a voice to bring people the voice of Jesus. So, pretty, wow. Yeah, life's big. Hallelujah. All righty. So let's talk about how we find our voice. What does it look like? All righty. Write this down. Number one, you will never find your voice until you find his voice. Yeah. You will never find your voice until you find his voice. So you're never going to speak for God until you hear from God. You're never going to speak for God until you hear from God. So, you know, when I say read your Bible, pray every day, yeah, spend time with the Lord, spend time in the Word, spend time, more time in the Word, and then you'll hear his voice so you can speak for him. Okay? Get quiet. So I had the best day yesterday. I just did everything I wanted to do. And I stayed in my pajamas most of the day. It was just fun. You know, I mean, why change? You're just going to clean house. I even went out, pajama bottoms, and rake leaves just for the fun of it and stuff. But in between all of that, I spent time in the Word, and I was having fun reading through Psalms, and I would just read that, and then I'd hear God's voice. So read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. Get in the Word. It doesn't have to take an hour. I didn't sit there for an hour straight. I would just run in and just read for 15 minutes, 10 minutes sometimes, throwing in laundry, and I'd sit down. And I was reading this Word, going through Psalms. Then I'd hear God's voice talking to me. It was personal to me. And now I have a voice for people. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you'll never find your voice until you find his. So I want to talk about finding his voice. And if I had to boil it down to one word, write this word down. Communications. Communications. If you had to boil down, you know, talking about voices, it has to do with communicating. And if, listen, you do not have to have a degree in communications to find out really fast, in order to have a thriving relationship, especially with your spouse, there's got to be some communications. There's got to be communications going on, right? All right. I had some miscommunications going this past week. So I invited all these people to my house for Thanksgiving, and this one bunch, like four of them, said, oh, you know, we're not going to be able to go. So that day I went out and got my turkey. I got a 14-and-some-pound turkey or something like that. And then they call me up 2 days later and say, oh, we're going to come. I'm like, crud. I don't have enough turkey. Okay. They said they're going to come. I'm thinking, I don't have enough turkey. So I go buy a turkey breast. I cook this thing in a minute. Guess what? That day rolls around. I'm up to 20 people at my house. It's time to eat, because when you're at my house, we start on time. Yeah, I did. Nobody else did. So we get ready to eat. We're waiting for that last bunch. So I'm like, we're eating. That's okay. We're eating. So we sit down. They show up an hour later. Because they said they were coming. They didn't say they were going to eat. Because they were eating at noontime and they were going to be full. Communication. I don't care how long you've been married to that spouse. Sometimes you don't hear them and sometimes you don't understand them, right? But listen, everybody went home with like 5 days of turkey and all the fillings. I mean, well, you went home with, everybody walked home with plates full, right? Praise the Lord. So, for all you newly married, I don't know if they're even newly married, listen, it takes work and it takes time. How many of you would agree? Amen. Communicating. Okay. Let me give you a story about communicating. In case you don't know, pastors are usually the first one in the building on Sunday morning. Ta-da! Pretty much. Nevin's like my second person in there. And then Deb. Where's Deb? Deb. Deb. Raise your hand. Point at her. She sometimes beats me in the parking lot because that's the lady that makes the coffee. The way I like it. We got it going, baby. She's not going to listen to you. You can tell her how strong it is. She doesn't listen to you. She listens to me. Okay. So anyway, pastors usually get in the building first, and they are the first here, and they're also usually the last to leave. So years ago when we had little kids, Jack would go first, and then I'd round up four kids, try not to lose it on the way to church, you know. I can't find my clothes. I can't find that stuff. So. But anyway, so we would be finally make it to church and all this and that. And again, we're like the last ones. And I have to tell you, my kids are really good sports about being the last ones here. Do you know why? They are running around this building. And hiding under the stairwell. Who remembers the bean bags that were underneath there? Yeah, hiding. At that time, we did not lock the children's cabinets. They're in the cabinets, taking all the lollipops, because they're like the pastor's kids. Yes, the pastor's kids. So my kids really didn't mind being the last ones here. And this happened a couple of times, and I don't remember. Sherry, you can jump in. But one time I said, hey, listen, I'm taking so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so home. You get the other one. Was it you? So I go home, and, you know, Jack's the last one to lock up, and he's tickled pink. He's flying down the roads, happy. Woo, it's a wonderful service. And he gets in the house, and I go, I know you did this once. Where's Sherry? He goes, what do you mean? I heard you say you took all the kids. I go, no, you weren't listening. So we've actually left kids a couple of times in the building. They're signing out papers to pass their kids around. Okay, anybody ever leave their kids in the building? Yeah, forgot about them? Yeah, okay. So can we all agree communication takes work? It takes work, it takes time, it takes listening. But listen, sometimes I think we have this idea, our relationship with God goes from here to here in 1 week. Our relationship, our communication with God goes from here to here in 1 week. I got saved. And you know what, guys? It doesn't. And if there were two perfect people in the relationship, it would be smooth sailing good. Now think about our relationship with God. There is only one perfect one. Yeah? And guess what? The rest of us are not perfect. Tell your neighbor, you're not perfect. Yeah. And then you can say, I'm not perfect, all right? These spouses that think they're perfect. Okay. So listen, we have to learn to listen to the sound of God's voice. We have to learn to listen to the sound of God's voice, okay? And it takes work, not in the bad sense, in the good sense, okay? And it takes time. So the next thing we're going to do now is talk about, not only do we have to learn how to listen, we actually have to learn how to grow into our voices. Everybody write that down. Grow into our voices. You have to learn how to grow into your voice. Okay? A couple years ago, I was pulling out the old movies for when we went on vacation. And my kids are little things. We probably got it. Sherry, we didn't have that when you were real little. I probably got that when Cassie was like three, four. I'm listening to these cute voices, these little squeaky voices. They're just, oh my gosh. They were so cute. Everybody think little kids' voices that are squeaky, they're so cute. Not the screaming ones, but the little voice. Oh, gosh. You're not a grandparent. You don't get it. Okay. They're adorable, okay? But how many of you guys remember when that is not a great moment in your life to have a squeaky voice? Okay? Actually, guys kind of hit that awkward stage where zits are popping out and their voice is going, supposed to go from squeaky to I have a deep voice in one day, and it doesn't, right? Okay. Now, I grew up in North Jersey, lots of Italians. My next door, two doors down, is Ronnie. Ronnie is like his grandparents came from Italy, his parents are all Italians, and being this neat Italian, I think by age 10 he was shaving. Okay, just shaving. Okay, and he may have looked like grown man on the outside because he had this beard and he was shaving, I think something like 10. But guess what happened? His voice hadn't changed. Yeah, and it was so sad. Just this, you know, he's got this dark shaven thing going on, and he'd start talking, the poor thing, okay? And I Googled it, between ages 10 through 15, boys, you know, their voices start to change, and pretty much middle school. And listen, I think middle school is horribly hard on kids. And then put a guy in there, and their voice is just all squeaky. Gosh. So I remember calling my friend Bev years ago, and her son answered the phone at that middle school age, and I'm pretty sure he was going to gusto, hello, and it came at, hello, you know, this squeaky, cracky thing, and I, da-da-da, you know, I'm not always the smartest pencil in the box. I go, hi, Bev, what are you doing today? And he goes, Misty, this is James. I'll get my mom. Oh, God. I felt so bad I wanted to lie. I really did. I really felt bad. But we have been friends forever. So, listen, that's kind of an awkward stage for guys. It really is. It's kind of difficult. And sometimes you've got to go through the awkward to get, just keep going. You know, it'll get there. You'll go forward, all righty? So what does it have to do with us? Sometimes we can feel like I have something to say about my Lord, about my Savior, about what he's doing in my life. And it feels like nobody's listening to me, right? It's just like this awkward, I'm like, come on. You know, my voice is all cracky, but it's just nobody's listening. I'm going, come on, God, why don't people listen to me? Well, let me tell you this. It's a process. Write that on your notes. It's a process. Your voice is a process, okay? And every person in the Bible that did something big for God, there was a process with their voice to where they were doing something for God. There was a process. Now, I'm such a patient person that I love processes. Yeah, right? Okay? But there's a process in growing with your voice. There's a process in growing with your voice. And a really good example is Samuel. So turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, what you got to remember about Samuel, background, one day Samuel is going to be this mighty prophet for all of Israel. He's just going to be this mighty man of God for the Israelites. It's just going to be so cool. He was going to do big things for God, right? But listen to the beginning, all right? Listen to this. And the boy Samuel continued to grow. The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Okay, so while Samuel's in training, guess what? He's being in training, and he's going to change the world. He is a world changer. But did you notice there's two groups of people. There's two groups of people that he had to prove himself to. There's two groups of people he had to prove himself. Obviously, the first one's God, right? And then the other one's people. His voice, he had a growing before people were going to receive from him. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, now I'm going to say this all the time, you may have just this big thing in your life that God's doing in your life, and you want to tell everybody about it, and if they get the finger, and you know, you know, people don't always are going to be super receptive to you until they know you, and they trust you. All right? So don't go blasting them. All right? There's a growing. There's a proving in this. Okay, the next person who had to grow into his voice, and there was this process, like Samuel, there's this process, is John the Baptist. And we just read about him, but look over again at Luke chapter 1. This is John the Baptist. Luke 1:80. And the child John, okay, and the child John grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Did you see the pattern? He's growing before this voice goes out there. All righty, he's growing. And have you ever been around nobody at our church? I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, okay? These people that have aspirations for ministry, right? They want to go into the ministry. And you know what I've noticed sometimes? They want to go public, but they don't want any preparation. They want the mic, but they don't want to get matured. And sometimes I think that's kind of what's going on in our culture. They just want to, I want it now. And guess what, guys? You have to grow in your voice. You grow in your voice, okay? And guess who had to grow too? Jesus. Jesus grew in his voice. He actually submitted until the right time, right? How many of you know that? Okay, turn over to Luke chapter 2, Luke 2. You know, so while you're getting to Luke 2, so I'm thinking about Jesus. Jesus, guys, Jesus, the Son of God, he's on the planet. You would think this is the one, just open your mouth, chkoong. But wait, he didn't start with his voice for 30 years. 30 years. And there's this let me read the scripture, okay? And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with who? With God and man, okay? So do you see the pattern? There's a growing to this. And we have voices, and there's a growing to us, all right? So if you've been feeling like, gosh, I've got this to say, but nobody's listening to me, let me encourage you. God has given you a voice. He'll amp it up at the right time when you're ready. When you're ready, he'll just amp it up, and he'll let you go for it, okay? Your voice and the things that God's got go inside of here, they'll be heard, but you let God do it, all right? There's a season. I will tell you, I'm not sure about you, but I know Stacy, gosh, Sherry, I'm trying to think who's here, looking at some of these faces. We would volunteer them in the children's ministry. No, we signed them up. But they all started in our preschool room passing crayons. Okay? Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm trying to think who else was in here. And later on, we'd bump them up to the children's ministry. And then the first thing they were allowed to do is they were allowed to read the Bible story. But by the time they got to my classroom in the children's oldest ministry, their voice had started to grow. Okay, they were in the Word, they're studying, we give them lessons, they have to study. And then I actually saw them become voices in the children's ministry. And many times they actually did the whole classes by themselves. But they grew in it. And some of you started passing crayons because Pastor D said, I promise, just pass crayons, I won't make you talk. And I lie. Because I will train you to be a teacher, right? I will. I will train you in a voice. And I've watched so many of the kids that I had grow up, and I would just lie to them and say, you just got to come down and walk kids to the bathroom and pass out crayons. But as the weeks go on, I'd give them more to do. You get to do the puppet skit. Pretty soon you're doing the lesson. Isn't that cool? We all grow, okay? And as you grow, God will make a path for you and praise the Lord. Think about Joyce Myers. She just didn't show up on your TV overnight. Have you ever heard her testimony? Oh, my gosh, crack me up. I look like St. Jesus. I'm telling you what. She's telling the stories about doing a Bible study at her house, sitting on her chair, smoking a cigarette. Okay, God, listen, there was pain in the process of her growth to where she has this voice. A couple years ago, I was up at Hershey when she comes into town. Cracked me up. I mean, first off, the place is packed. We get there early. We have to sit in the center because we're Pastor D, if you come with me. But I'm looking around, and I see these ladies with the bonnets. brethren, and some of them were Amish. And I'm going, whoa, on their cell phone, Sherry Cash. Inside joke here. Okay, listen, look at her voice and where it reaches. It's really the voice of Jesus. She reaches denominations. She reaches them. It's just incredible. Just incredible. But it was a process. It was also a little painful for her. She grew into this voice that tells about Jesus, and people get saved. I love watching her on TV. Just fantastic. Praise the Lord. So, this is what I think God's saying to all of us. You ready? God has something unique to say through all of you. Your voice is unique. God's placed things in you, especially when you read your Bible and your life, that He wants you to speak out. But it's a growing thing. It's a growing thing. Gosh, I'll never forget. I just met Jesus, and then a year later, we get married, and we go home to visit my parents. I needed a little bit of growing because we probably turned everybody off. We did. In my family. It took years to clean up the mess, and later on they all received our voice because we were growing and doing it much better, all right? So go slow. Just be led by the Lord, all righty? Praise the Lord. Let me wind down. I want to talk to you about something that I really believe that all of us struggle with, or else I'm the only person on the planet that does this. And it's probably a question I hear people ask all the time, and they'll say, Pastor D, what do I do if I can't hear God's voice? Anybody have a day like that? A year like that? I had some times where I was like, I can't hear God's voice, okay? And, you know, I love when God's this real loud, like, wow, I know I hear God. I know He spoke to me. I know I couldn't deny Him. I know He's real. I just got this big voice. Now, it's not a real, it's inside here. It's that inner voice that's really loud, okay? But for as many times as I've had that loud, clear voice, I'll be honest, I've had just as many times where I didn't hear nothing. I couldn't hear God's voice. So, what do you do? Well, number one, Jesus had the same thing going on. All right, so I think we should look at Him, right? So Jesus had the same problem going on. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. While you're getting to Mark chapter 1, so interesting. Again, Jesus' first day of ministry, you know, behold the Lamb of God. I mean, that's pretty crazy crew. You talk about like a going out, coming in or go whatever party. Bam, ministry party. He had a great day for day one in the ministry, don't you think? That was fabulous, right? Okay, and there are hundreds of people gathered around. And then in Mark chapter 1:11, a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved son and bring me great joy." Okay? That's a pretty good day, right? For opening day of ministry. You've got God, the voice of God talking to you. And actually, the voice of validation from a father. And all you dads out here, man, if you want your child to be secure in who they are, in their relationship with God, in their identity, you as dads need to validate your kids. Okay? And now this listen to this part. Do it in front of people. Like, you just say, especially, there's just a couple, and I'm not into the bragging thing, but I want to validate my child. I am building them solid in God and solid in who they are created to be. So I'll say, hey, you know, did I tell you about Johnny? This past week he did this, this, and this. And I'm in front of people. Do you know, Johnny could think he's the dumbest person on the earth and he's done the most horrible thing. But all of a sudden I'm start validating the good in his life and the things that he's done and the way God's been moving in his life. And all of a sudden he's like, man, I'm doing good. I'm pretty terrific. Okay. And all you dads, you do that to your girls. You start validating when they're little girls. And no slime ball bottom feeder is going to sweep them off their feet with dumb, dumb things. Because you're the one that says, hey, sweetie, you're the prettiest thing. You're the smartest thing. I just see what God's doing in your life. And they don't need a, I call them bottom feeder. Uh-huh. So validation of a father is amazing. And if they don't have a father on the scene, be the mother that validates them, okay? All right, that was free. Praise the Lord. Let's get back to this. So here we have Jesus on day one of the ministry. In Luke chapter 3, day one of his ministry. If you flip the page to the next chapter, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit. God has him out in the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? No voice of God. He's not hearing God. Y'all read the same Bible I read? Y'all looking at me like, what is she talking about? You ever read that before? Okay. For 40 days and 40 nights, he's out in the wilderness and God's not talking. God's not talking to him. He has somebody talking to him, though. Uh-huh. Whose voice did he hear? The enemy, the deceiver, the accuser, the liar. Right? That's the only voice that's going on. And right then, Jesus has a decision. Jesus has a decision to make at that moment. He could either listen to the lies of the enemy, right? The accuser, stinking liar. He could either listen to him, or at that moment, when he can't hear God's voice, God wasn't speaking then. When he can't hear God's voice, he could make a decision to hold on to what God had spoken to him, right? Flip back to the chapter before. God showed the voice from heaven. This is my beloved, right? So he could make a decision to either listen to the lies that are yapping, or what God had already spoken to him, all right? So what do you do in your life when you can't hear God? You're not hearing him, okay? It's almost like he went dark on you, all righty? Some people, I wish they'd go dark on me, but, you know, the God not, okay? So what do? You have to hold on to, like Jesus, he knew from before. He had moments with God. He knew some things, and he held on to what he also had heard. So you got to hold on. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example. Let's say I have to run into Rutter's to get some milk. And you know what they have right at the checkout? Candy. So I grab my favorite, in case you don't know, it's a Baby Ruth bar. I don't even know if they make them anymore, do they? Yeah, gosh, they're so good. I don't even know how many calories in those things, okay? So I run in there and I grab one and then I think, oh, I should get one for my husband because I'm such a kind, loving wife. And I could go, oh, no, what kind should I get? Oh, should I do the guessing game? Should I get this? Should I get that? Or the Holy Spirit reminds me what I've heard my husband say for years. I love Almond Joy bars. For years, I love Almond Joy bars. For years, I love Almond Joy bars. Okay? So I'm going to grab the Almond Joy bar with the Baby Ruth and the milk, because we came in for milk. And I'm going to go home and I go, honey, look at me. I was thinking about you and I got you. Ta-da! All right, so I get the awesome wife of the year. Praise the Lord, okay? So, I may not have heard his voice at Rutter's, right? I didn't hear his voice, but listen, I knew, I know that guy. I knew his voice. Praise the Lord, okay? Actually, I knew what he valued. Almond Joy. I knew what he valued. I was like, oh, I'm going to grab that. So, maybe you're walking through sickness and disease in your life, and it's just been a stinking year. And you're like, God, I can't hear your voice. I'm not hearing nothing. Or maybe you've got some issues it's just been a really struggle in your marriage. Or maybe you're like, God, I don't even know how to parent these kids. Because maybe your kid is getting bullied at school. And you just don't know what to do, and you're asking God, and you can't hear anything. Maybe you're just going through, it's just really been tough. So what do? Well, you may not hear God's voice all the time, but This voice always speaks. Amen? This is the voice of God. And so I'm not hearing, you know, as I'm walking through this difficult thing, I'll whip this baby out and I'll read it out loud. I talk to myself and I let it start speaking, because this speaks all the time. And guys, God is speaking all the time. God's speaking. Now, it may not be the voice, the loud thing, okay? But He is speaking all the time. So you may think, I'm not hearing the loud voice, but you can find His voice. Amen? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. You can eat that baby Ruth bar. Okay, I want to close with this. It's really interesting when you look through the Bible, all the different ways that it describes God, how He speaks. Like, the bold, the loud, like the mighty rushing waters or thunder. You hear how God speaks like that, alrighty? And you can't miss it when it's bold and loud, right? I'm waiting for that bold thunder. This is my beloved Davida. Haven't had one of those, okay? But, you know, there's often times in the Bible where it describes God's voice as a still, small voice. A whisper, right? Now, some of you can't whisper because church starts at 10:30. And we can hear you. That ain't a whisper. I got this one friend. It's more like, I was like, that's not a whisper. They don't whisper. I tell them, whisper, all right? But you know what's really interesting about a whisper, especially if you're in the movie theater or at church, okay? You start whispering to me, I have to lean in to hear, right? Somebody's whispering. Because if you're back there where Adam and Mark are, if they start whispering, I'm not going to hear them. But if you're someone's whispering, you're going to lean in to hear what they're saying. Praise the Lord. So this is just me. I think God deliberately, by design, doesn't always speak with this big booming voice from, you know, the word from heaven. I think He wants us not to have that, but where we're going to lean into Him, draw nigh to Him, abide in Him, right? So we can hear His voice, all right? And how many of you have had God speak in the gentleness, in the sweet, in the whispers, all right? Praise the Lord. So I want to challenge you. What do you do? This thing's bugging me today, sorry. What do you do when you say, Pastor D, I just can't hear God. I've had people, and listen, I've been there. I've got a terrific challenge before me, and I've gone to somebody, and I'm waiting for this big booming voice, and I don't hear it. And I remember my good friend Maria saying, well, D, what do you hear? I said, well, I just sort of think. She goes, that was it. Go for it. And I followed that little voice, okay? Guys, again, God is always speaking. Don't be looking for the big, loud voice, because you might be saying, well, I can't hear. He's not big and loud. He's always speaking. He's always speaking. All right, and just got to get quiet, draw near to Him, lean into Him, crack open your Bible to Him. He's speaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, how about let's have a time of prayer. Everybody just kind of bow your heads, close your eyes. I really believe that God wants to speak to you right now. Yep. I believe that God wants to speak to you right now. And it's nice and quiet. You could even hear a whisper right now, couldn't you? Right? Nobody's moving here. And you might think, Pastor D, I don't think I've ever heard God's voice. Listen, I believe God will speak to you right now. Right now, God will speak to you. Okay? The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, what? He will answer and show you great and mighty things. Call on the name of the Lord. So we're gonna call on Him. We're going to give Him an invitation to come in and talk to us. You know, He's such a gentleman. You have to ask. So, God, would You speak to me? So I'm really good. I always lay out, hey, Lord. But really nicely. God, this is what's going on in my life. I need answers. I don't know how to deal with this. I've got this situation. I need some help. So I'll ask Him, and I'll say, God, speak to me. Show me. Praise the Lord. So you draw near to Him. And that's how it works. You draw near to Him, and He'll start speaking to you.